You can be turning to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 41. While you're turning there, I do bring you greetings from New Testament Baptist Church in Dover. We appreciate the church's kindness to find accommodations and all the good food. We appreciate that very much. And if you ever put on a conference, you'll appreciate it more. It's a lot of work that goes into that, and we do appreciate it. In regards to our Supreme Court's decision, I have to make a couple of comments. The first one, the Bible is very clear in the days when the judges ruled the land. And that was a mess for Israel, wasn't it? It was a problem. And that's where we're at. And as Brother Cummings said, that's not their purpose. They have stepped beyond their constitutional power. I also said it'd be good for us to suffer some. When someone has it too good for too long, we begin to take for granted the situation we have. And so, in that sense, it'll be good. And last thing I'll say concerning that, and I agree with Brother Cummings' comment out in the fellowship area, we don't need to be radical on this, but if it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, and you know, there are three that it did, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It came down where they refused, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and the Lord Jesus, I believe, met with them there. And it may come down to that, and He may not meet with us, and He may not deliver us, but I do know this, if we stand to the stuff, He'll meet with us spiritually, and He'll give us comfort for death. You know, as a nurse, if anything has taught me in nursing, there is a comfort for death. And it's granted by God, and that'll be okay too. Isaiah chapter 41, beginning in the very first verse. Isaiah 41, in the very first verse, the Bible says, Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, and let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, caught him to his foot, gave nations before him, and made him rule over the kings. He gave them as the dust to the sword, and as driven stubble in his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who have wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I am the Lord, the first and the last. I am He. The isles saw it and feared the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth were afraid and drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to his brother, "Be of good courage." So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, "It is ready for the soldering," and he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank You again for another opportunity to be with Your people. Lord, we thank You for the church here at West Milton. Lord, we give You the praise and the glory for the people that You've raised up here to be a testimony in the day. Lord God, we pray and confess the sins of our wretched country. Lord, we pray that You and Your goodness might smile upon us once again. Lord, we pray most of all, Lord, that You would meet with us this morning, that You would draw people. Lord, that You'd manifest Yourself through Your Word, and we'd be faithful to give You the praise and the glory and the honor for it all, for it is in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Now, fairly familiar verses of Scripture, Israel was in a mess. Isaiah had predicted this. Isaiah had warned them. Now, I do want to go a little bit further back in chapter 40. As you know, the verse divisions in your King James Bible were made for our study, but it was one whole book, and it is good to have them, but sometimes we get it in our mind that that's a true division, and it's not. Isaiah chapter 40, then, I want you to go back to verse 28. "Hast thou not known?" What a wonderful blessing. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've known. If you know that God is on the throne, you certainly know it's something that He's convinced you of. You know what? The problem with Arminian doctrine is this. It doesn't put God in the sovereign situation. He's sovereign. He makes Himself known to whom He will, and as sad and as heart-wrenching as it is, He holds Himself from whom He will. That's the God of the Bible. And so I want you to see that that Isaiah asks, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Creator, the end of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary." You know what? Yesterday's a decision by our Supreme Court, it did not take our God by surprise. He's not going to react to it, because you know what? He let the people go as far as they will. You know what? That's even under His sovereign direction. It's nothing that took Him by surprise. In fact, it's the fulfillment of the Scripture, because the end cannot come if things don't wax worse and worse. And you know what? It has. We're in a mess and we think we've seen it all. But you know what? We may not have seen it yet. We may have not seen the whole thing that's going to come past just yet. We think bad things are bad now. I tell you, you talk to Egypt and Israel in Egypt, you know how bad it gets. And so, what a wonderful blessing if we could just look to that. Our God's never weary. He never faints. There is no searching His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Are you faint this morning? Are you about ready to throw in the towel? Our brother, Brother Mark yesterday, he addressed that issue. People that are faint. And you know what? We ought to automatically perceive that as weakness. You know what? That is not what being faint is about. You know, to be faint, you have to do something. You have to work. You have to dig in. You have to perform. And that's being faint. Faint is not lazy. You know what we have in the modern day? We have a bunch of lazy Christians, and we have a bunch of weak churches as the result of having lazy members. And then we wonder what's wrong. We wonder why God's not moving. Listen, I'll tell you why He's not moving. The reason He's not moving is because we're not up about the Father's business. We need to do that. In the day which we live, listen, this situation upsets me as much as anybody else, but all I know is to be about the Father's business. You know what? Matthew 28 hasn't changed a bit. You know, the situation in the land which we live does not change that command. We're still to be doing it. It may have to be in secret. We may have to be a little coy about it, but certainly we should do it. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Oh, what a blessing. You know, I don't know what this thing is going to play out to be, but I do know this. He'll give me strength in that day. Can I say, well, if you want me on the chopping block, here I am. Can I do that in the flesh? Certainly not. But He'll give us strength in the day. I believe that. If we're faithful to Him, we'll do things that we can't even understand ourselves. You know, Israel was about at the end of the rope, and they would go into bondage because of this. But if there was a remnant that was faint and seeking Him, certainly, certainly He would renew that strength. The Lord gives me opportunity from time to time to preach in other places. And what I find consistently is weak people. And I'm not being critical. I really ain't. Because you know what? You come to Dover and you're going to find the same thing. Why is it that situation? I think it was the brother back there. We were talking about exercise and the benefits of it. And we need to exercise. Exercise the faith. You be about the Father's business. And He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint
and be weary. You know, I hear that among God's people. Well, when I was young, I did this. And when I was young, I did that. You know what? According to the Scripture, the youths get, that they get worn out too. They get tired too. They feel like it's too much for them to do. And what do they need to do? Get a good rest. You know, there's nothing wrong with being restful. Now, I'll say this. It's a difference between lazy and restful. Now, if we've done a hard day's work, you know what? We need to be restful. We need to catch our breath for a moment. We need to be renewed in the faith. And I believe that's what's wrong with our churches today. I think we need to be renewed in the faith. You know how that transpires? Preaching. The Bible says through the foolishness of preaching. You know what? A brother here said something about Sunday school. I don't have an issue with training the young folks, but you know what we need? We need preaching. We don't need youth programs. We don't need a bus ministry. And again, there's nothing wrong with all those things, but what we need to strengthen our churches is not more people. We need the power of God. We need preaching like we've never had it before. We desperately, desperately stand in need of preaching. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man and the young men shall utterly fall. You know what? We talk about what a shame it is when we see one of the brethren fall, and it is. But this is not talking in falling into sin. This is talking about falling in weariness. And you know what? I don't know that there's a person under the sound of my voice that's done enough to fall under weariness. That means you've done so much that you're completely exhausted. Now, I will say this. I'm tired of sin, aren't you? I am tired of living in a corrupt, ungodly nation. And it wears me out. Every time you get up, you look on the computer and all you see is filth. All you see is a steady downward slide. But you know what? We're promised no better. You know what the problem is and somewhat of the devastation and as disgusted as I am about this, we forget we're pilgrims and strangers. This world is not my home. You know, we'll be traveling on one day, either by death or by the catching away. We will be out of here. And so we must be about the Father's business. You know what? If you eat enough garbage, it'll kill you. And if we get enough of this sickening world, it's going to kill you. You keep feasting on the filth of this world, it will take you out. And nothing else, you'll be so depressed, you'll be ready to quit. You know, and it amazes me even, you know, how God's people buy into the New World Order. Yeah. Well, I don't know what we're going to be able to do. Well, you know what? We can stand true. Amen. And I'm not talking about in the energy of the flesh. I'm talking about by the power of God, we can stand true. We claim that in the name of the Lord Jesus, but we do get tired. Are you not tired of event after event after event? Are you not weary? I am. I you know why I go to conferences? So I can be rejuvenated. Amen. That's me. And you other preaching brethren, I know how it is. All you do is study and prepare and try to the best of your ability to present what God has given you. You know what? That's wearisome on the flesh. That is a difficult thing. Because you know what? I think it was Brother Dan was preaching last night. You know what? Before I can present it, I get worked over pretty good myself. And then after you get beaten up by the Word of God, then you have to stand and proclaim it. It's a little difficult. And then Sunday, after Wednesday, you know what? It gets tiresome to the flesh. So I come to places like this so I can get a little rejuvenation. So that I can be built back up again in the faith. That was Israel's situation. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, the difficulty is this. Being honest enough to say, I'm weak. Right? Oh, you know, I'm a little embarrassed, you know. You know what? I'm not embarrassed. I am a weak person. You know why it's a good thing if you can admit that? It's because you've been doing something. Now again, there's a line of demarcation between weakness and laziness. Being weak means you've been out there. I know up in this region of the country, y'all grow different things than we do in the South. Those of you that's visited Stewart County knows that it's just like this. And our little fields that we have are not very big at all. And the cash crop back home is tobacco, and I'm not advocating that. I have an issue with that myself. But that is what the farmers do for a living. And I've been out there. The only thing I was ever big enough, because I was very small framed, and that's hard to believe, a very little child for my age. And the only thing I really could ever do to tobacco is strip it and pull the suckers off. And that's not worms. That's the top piece of the tobacco, so it don't get all the juice from the plant. And that's about all I could do. But you know, when I did do that, and it's very simple to break off the top of a tobacco stem, you just break it off and throw it on the ground, and break it off and throw it on the ground, and you go through the whole field. But by the end of the day, you are wore out. That arm doing this gets tired. That arm of just repetitive motion, it gets a little tired. And you know what? By the end of the day, you're ready for a good meal, and you're ready for the bed. Now again, you measure yourself. Are you lazy or are you tired? And there is a huge difference. And sometimes I just simply have to say, oh me, I must just be lazy. Read this book before you. What about Paul? What about John? What about the inner circle? You know what? You don't have the epistle of Thaddeus, do you? You know what? You have to mean business with God. And I believe I know He did, He's sovereign. He knew the three that were a real deal. And I'm not saying I believe they were probably saved as much as you can know by simply reading about their lives. But you know what? They simply did not mean business with God like the other three did. And you have to come to that conclusion. You know what? In that sense, they were lazy. They needed help. They were tired. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. What a glorious promise. You know what? How many times have you run to tell the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? How many times have you put so much effort that you are running to share the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking about foolishness, but you know what? In the King James, you know what run means? It means run. It means taking off. It means going in the power of God. You know, that's why I love the King James. You don't have to interpret it, do you? You know, I get so frustrated. Well, that doesn't. It really means blah, 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 blah. You know what it says? You know what's, well, when the Lord saved my soul, you know what? Going to hell was going to hell. Jesus is my advocate meant Jesus was my advocate. He was the only way that if I was ever redeemed, He was the only way. Why in the name of the Lord Almighty would we water that down?
Right.
Oh, but I mean, we give every excuse, don't we? What we need to do is quit translating and just taking it as face value. That's what we need to do. And so, what a rich promise. If we run, we're not going to be weary. If we keep going, we're not going to faint. So, with that in mind, with those promises, the Lord God says, keep silent before me. Keep silence before me. You know what? The very best thing that will renew your strength is simply hear from God. And you don't hear from God by running your mouth. You hear from God by being silent. And you know, it's not always what you want to hear. When Elijah was on top of the mountain, he didn't say, you know, Elijah, I'm sorry all this has happened to you. I know you're down and out, but things is going to be all right. Oh no. What doest thou here, Elijah? And you know what? God didn't need to know. He wanted Elijah to know. And you know why? He was there. He was running fearfully from that wicked queen Jezebel. That's why he was there. And listen, don't you get down on Elijah too much, because you know what? We would do the same thing. Separate and apart. Listen, if the monarch, if we had a monarch, and listen, we do, whether you want to agree to it or not, Barack Obama is a monarch. He will do what seemeth good unto himself. He thinks he's God. Now, you think about a wicked leader and their ungodly rainbow down at the White House last night. Listen, if he said to you, I'm going to put you out of business. The immediate impulse of the flesh, let's be honest, we'd run fearfully, would we not? We would. But according to this scripture, maybe what we need to do is just shut up. Maybe we just need to stand in silence. Now, the problem is this. You don't know how long you're going to stand there. And this wicked flesh gets bored pretty quick. And we're ready to move on, ain't we? We're ready to do something else. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. That's what we stand in need of this morning. We need to renew our strength in the Lord. And I want you to see the display of His sovereign ability. He says, islands, keep silent. Oh, what a blessed thing. You know what? Under His very sovereign power, even the elemental weather is under it all. That's why He can say, peace be still. And they have to just... You talking about a grade 5 or whatever they call of hurricanes? I don't even know how they stage them. But I do know this, He can say, peace be still. And it has to stop. That's a sovereign God of the universe. And so, if we want to regroup, I think we need to be quiet for a little bit. And then it says, come near and let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Now the next difficult point, if we want to be renewed, we've got to hear judgment. That's the hard part. The Lord Almighty God of heaven saying, Larry, you're lazy. Hearing the omnipotent saying, you could do more. And you say, well, that's critical. How can I be renewed in such criticism? Blessed be the name of God, you can. Because listen, if you think you've done something mighty in the power of God, you may need to check things out. You compare your life to the Apostle Paul. You compare, you know what? When we really get down to it, we sure haven't given much, have we? Maybe while some of this stuff is coming on our nation, as my teacher used to say, we may need to separate the men from the boys. And I'm not saying which side I'll come out on that. But we need to understand and know that we got to accept what God says. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave nations before him, made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to the sword and as driven stubble from his bow. Who did that? That's a question. That's an inquiry. I'll tell you who did it. The mighty God of heaven, the omnipotent, the great God Jehovah. You know what? Nothing frustrates me more. Listen, than some people not even knowing the wonderful God, name of our Lord God Jehovah. You know what? The Russellites about took that away from us. But you know what His name is? It's Jehovah. It's Yahweh. It is the Prince of all gods. That is Him. We need to understand and know who our God is. He is mighty on His throne. And blessed be the name. We have an intercessor standing at His right hand. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ, We need to understand and we need to know that, and we need to claim that as truth. He's there. He pursued after them, meaning the rebels against Israel. He pursued after them and passed safely, even by the way he had not gone with his feet. Who have wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I am the Lord, the first with the last, and with the last, I am He. So who done it? The great God of the Bible. He did it. The isle saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. Drew near and came. You know when... What does the Bible say concerning fear? Well, first of all, it depends on who you're afraid of. But the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know what? As long as we preach a God up there wringing His hands and wondering what's going to happen, why would you fear that? If He's waiting on you to make a decision, what's fearful about that? But you, when we think of a mighty God of heaven that could stub you out in a moment just because He wants to, that brings fear to my life. It brings fear, does it not? Cast you alive into hell because it seemeth good to himself. That's fearful, isn't it? You know what the problem with a sovereign God to most people is? He do what seemeth good unto himself. That's the problem. We want, you know, the world wants a God that's just sitting there waiting for you to make a decision, hoping that just maybe you'll trust Him. God help us. You know, Israel wanted that kind of God too, believe it or not. But that ain't the God they had.
No, that's right.
And so we see that certainly He've done great things. The isle saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid and drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, "Be of good courage. This morning I say unto you, be of good courage. God is on the throne." Did the Sodomites win out yesterday? You bet they did. But God is still on the throne. He doeth what seemeth good unto himself. God, you know what? I'm here to encourage you, and you encourage me. You remind me when I'm ready to quit that God is mighty and is on His throne. Oh, we need that. Oh, we need to quit wringing our hands, don't we? But now this is the reality. Out in the world, by day basis, He'll wear you down. And I don't mean God, I mean the devil. Why are people discouraged today? Well, listen, it gets tough. I was noticing on your board, I think you said it was like 44 people here last Sunday. Man, that's a blessing. You know how many routinely attend New Testament? About 19. Gets discouraged. And I give up on numbers a long time ago, and I understand that. But this is the reality. It does get discouraging. If nothing else, it gets discouraging because of this. There's not much support there. And listen, I'm not talking about greenbacks. I'm talking about somebody saying, "It goes well. Brother, you encouraged me today." That's the kind of support I need. That's the kind of support I need. And so we see, we do have that encouragement in the Lord. We do. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. You know what? Those trades are completely opposite. But you know what? They could agree on the omnipotent God of the Bible. I never met a goldsmith. I really don't know what they do. I mean, they make things out of gold, I reckon. But I do know a few carpenters. And the ones I know about knows nothing about smithing gold. But you know what? They encouraged each other because the one thing they agreed on was the omnipotent God of the Bible. And that wasn't preacher encouraging preacher. That was this one encouraging that one. People of individual churches, we need to encourage each other. Now, the problem is this today. If I don't know what to say to you to encourage you, then
what benefit is it? And nothing wrong with big churches. I'm glad there's a few out there. But you know, each one of New Testament Baptist Church, we know each other intimately. I know about their health problems. I know about what the children are involved in. And we can sit down and I say, you know what, sister, I'm praying for you. I can say, you know, I can imagine if Matthew was out into that mess when I'm praying for you. When you have your, they saw yesterday about these churches of 10,000 people and this sodomite thing, it's not going to bother them. But you know what? I bet in a church of 10,000, you don't know everybody. So we should be encouraged. You know, we need to appreciate what we know about each other. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. Now, if you don't get anything else out of this message, if you write in your Bible, you underline and start and say, oh, Brother Lafferty preached on this. Listen, we need to nail it down today because trouble is on the way. Difficulty, you think this thing is bad now. You give it about 3 years. I think it's Brother Cummins saying, listen, for the first few weeks, it's going to be fine. But listen, when they come in that back door and they say to your dear pastor, listen, you're going to ma'am or this place shuts down. Listen, that's getting down to where the rubber meets the road. And you say, well, you're crazy. Give it 3 years and tell me I'm crazy then. Right? But you know what? We can encourage each other. Oh, you know what encourages me? Is when only... If somebody don't know anything else, but just simply, God's been good to me. He's given me a long life. He saved my never-dying soul. And I don't face hell because of that. That's all you can say. What an encouragement to be to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to understand and we need to know that. Nail it down. Know what you believe. Because it'll come a day when you'll have to. But thou, Israel, art my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. You know, a lot of times we sing those songs and we don't even know where they came from. Listen, there's a gospel song that is verbatim. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. Oh, what a wonderful God that we serve. And why don't we claim it? Why don't we say... And I tell you why, we get tired. You know, this flesh is what it is. It wears out. You know what, I'm 46 years old, and I can tell a big difference. I used to hear people in their mid-40s say that, and I was, well, when you get there, you know. Right? You'll know. And so, we're wore out. Again, distincting between lazy and doing something for the cause of Christ, we're wore out. You know what? I'll give you this. Peace be still. Just wait a minute and that rejuvenation will come. You'll be encouraged in the things of the Lord. Now, I want to give you two men very quickly that had this experience. In the Gospel of Matthew. I'm sorry, in the Gospel of John. John chapter 1 and verse 29. Very familiar verses of Scripture. John chapter 1, verse 29. The Bible says, and the next day John seeth Jesus
and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now I want you to notice John saw two things in the person of Christ. They were cousins, but they did not know each other. And he said, I want to tell you two things. He is the Lamb. He is the sacrifice. And He has the ability to take away the sins of the world. He understood. He knew that. He knew that. He saw Him coming and said, That's Him. This is of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. For I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. That's him. That's him. He's here. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessed truth. If you can say that this morning, that's encouraging. Yeah, irregardless what happens, He's on the throne. But I want to give you the flip side. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 2. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Go and shew John again those things which ye do and hear. Now, chronologically, this was after he said, Behold. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because he's fixing to lose his head. Right? So how did John the Baptist arrive at this point? He got discouraged. I ain't never been locked up. I'm surprised sometime. But I hadn't heard the iron gate shut behind me yet. But I went with Brother Jim Duke to his jail ministry. I'm wanting to start one at Dover. We're building a brand new jail. We're a county of less than 12,000 people, and we're building a jail that'll sleep 128. So I don't know what that says about us. But I'd like to get involved in that. So I went with Brother Duke to just see kind of how he did it. And you know what? It was very disconcerting to empty these old pockets and put everything in that little bucket, let them pat you down, and hear that old door sling shut behind you. Very disconcerting. You know what? John experienced that and much more. In that day, listen, it wasn't three hots and a cot and your free health care. My niece, Jessica, is a jail nurse. And man, they have better health care than I do. I'm not making that up. That's true. But in John's day, it was much different. And man, he was so hated. He was so despised. I'd be willing to say that he probably didn't even get what the normal one got. That'll bring you down. You say, oh, I would stand true. Listen, you don't know what you'll do. And I'll say this, you'll be discouraged at best. You'll be discouraged at best. And so, he didn't even know. He says, are you him or do we look for another? You know what? You may get so discouraged that you don't even know for sure that you've been saved. You don't even know for sure that you're in the right group of people. You don't even know for sure that God is omnipotent and on the throne. You say, oh no, not me. Well listen, you ain't been locked up yet. You haven't done without food yet. And you don't know what you'll do. They say, oh, Brother Larry, how could you change and say that about me? Well, I know what the flesh is. I may not know you very personally, but I know what this stinking thing is made out of. And I dare to say yours is not much different. Right? So John the Baptist, the very forerunner of Christ, could no longer see what was going on. He was so discouraged, he didn't know. And he says, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf are here, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Blessed is he whosoever not shall be offended in me. So he gave John a list of what he had done. Remember, I'm who I said I was. Remember, I am the Christ, the Son of God. I give you that this morning. I encourage you in that. Gospel of Matthew, a little further over, 16:16. I hope you can quote it. Matthew 16 and verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He seen it, didn't he? He knew who he was. And if you know your Bible, what Jesus had asked is, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, some John the Baptist, other Elias or Elisha. And then he said, but whom do ye say that I am? Oh, Peter got it, didn't he? You're the Christ. Thou art the Christ. But you know, Peter got discouraged too. He got fearful in the flesh. And it's easy to get down on Peter. But listen again, you don't know what you'll do. We need to be encouraged in the Lord. Matthew 26 and verse 73. Matthew 26 and verse 73. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately, the cock crew. Man, Peter was first pastor, or second pastor, depending on how you want to look at that. Lord Jesus being the First Baptist Church, Jerusalem. Man, he was down and out, wasn't he? The very one that said, Thou art the Christ. You know what that says to me? I can get there too. And probably, you know, people get down on Peter. But what I've discovered about Peter, he's about like me. Right? And he went from saying, Thou art him. Thou art the Christ. To, I know not the man. And he threw in a good few explicatives so maybe they believe what he was saying. But you know what's a blessing to me? He says, Thy speech betrayeth thee. You're one of them. You're one of them. So he had to redo that speech a little bit, didn't he? Threw in a few curse words so that they'd think maybe he was lost as a goose in a hailstorm. Threw it out there. But you know what? God, being sovereign, even tells the roosters when to crow. And immediately the cock crew. You know what? Then it says Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, that says to me, number one, we need to look and see where we're at. Remember, we read in Isaiah just to be silent. Just be still. And then when we see those issues, we need to start repenting. You know, that's a good... We love sovereignty, don't we? You know, the whole tulip, if you want to call it that. We buried that from some the Lutherans, I guess. You know that, right? I guess it's Lutheran, maybe Presbyterians. Anyway, it's not ours. We like that, don't we? But what about repentance? You want West Melton to be a powerful church. You start with repentance. If I want the church at Dover to be powerful, that's the place to start. Yeah, well, Brother Larry, I haven't done anything. Well, you know what? That might be a sin in of itself. Right? We need to repent. You know what? Hang on, it's going to get worse. I don't mean to be a pessimist, but yesterday's Supreme Court ruling just showed me the condition of our nation. things are going to get worse. You know what? Jehovah God has never, ever put His approval on sin and never will, because it's against His character. And, you know, somebody on the, and I understand what they were saying, somebody put on Facebook yesterday, well, God have to judge the states, or He'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. First of all, my God don't apologize to nobody. You know what? Because He's sovereign, He don't have to. The Bible says He doeth what seemeth good unto Himself. But I will say this, He is consistent. And he will judge us. And maybe it'd do us good to spend a few months in prison. Maybe it'd be good to join Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace. Might be good for us. Because this is what will happen. It'll tell you where you're at. God knows. When He walked in the garden and said, "Where art thou, Adam?" It wasn't for His benefit. It's for Adam's benefit. He wanted Adam to know where he was at. And this morning, if you get nothing else, I want you to know where you're at. Because listen, push is fixing to come to shove. And if you don't know, you will not be ready. And I don't mean ready to go, I mean ready for what's coming. This morning I want to encourage you, give you great encouragement. Let's take this morning while we have it, get refueled, and then go on in the cause of Christ. Amen. Brother Chris.